The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour is live. We appreciate you being here. We mentioned Alabama, now number one in the polls for basketball. More of your calls. We'll talk about the OU Texas emergence toward the SEC coming up here in just a minute. Lee is in South Carolina. Lee, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm a longtime fan, watcher, and if I'm not watching it, I'm listening to it on the Sirius.
Well, thank you so much.
I had a stroke back in August. I fully recovered. Most of my speech therapy was done talking to you, even though you couldn't hear me on the TV.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And, I gotta have a open heart surgery at the end of the month. And I think you'll also be helping me on that recovery as well.
Tell me something, Lee. I mean, open heart surgery sounds dramatic. But I don't know what it's like in today's world. How much, what type of layup are you, how long will you be laid up?
They're telling me 4 or 5 weeks. Mm. And, you know, I should be back to as good as new. I'm obviously a Gamecock fan, being from South Carolina, and I'm a huge Dawn Staley fan. And, of course, everybody, I guess, summed it, but that was just a wonderful game, leading up to the Super Bowl that they played, and I think they really showed some serious dominance against LSU.
Well, to stay in touch with us. We'll all be thinking of you, Lee, and I'm glad that you're at least in a better place to be able to have that, and I know you wouldn't be having that if you didn't have to have it. So you be well, and you take care of yourself.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Wow, that's really, really, really comfortable. I mean, nobody wants to go through anything like that. But open heart surgery is done for a lot of reasons, but mainly to improve your quality of life and to make sure that you can continue. Bobby is in Mississippi. Hey, Bobby, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Look, I don't follow basketball much, but being from Oxford, but I know a lot of people who follow basketball, and they would not be upset to see Cal get run out of town because of where he left Memphis. But my other question, too, was what's the status on Andy Kennedy? You think he's content down there at UAB?
I do. You have to remember Andy Kennedy really started his career at Cincinnati under Bob Huggins. He took over, and you know he had a long career at Ole Miss, as you know. He was out of coaching 3 or 4 years, worked at the SEC Network, was an outstanding analyst, and I think he's really landed. He took UAB to the NCAA tournament shortly after he got there, and this year is they are not quite as potent, but he, I mean, that's where he played college. I mean, he graduated there. He played college. He coached there. He is, I think, genuinely beloved in the Birmingham community. So I would be very surprised to see him want to or to consider leaving to go elsewhere. Thanks for the call. Now, Kentucky, nobody in the right mind would ever turn down Kentucky. But I'm just making the point that I think he's probably going to stay where he is. Bubba is in Alabama. Hello, Bubba.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Very well.
Listen,
thank you.
I want to tell you the real reason Texas wants to come to the SEC.
Okay.
They don't have anything to prove against the powers. Texas has a winning record against every SEC power. But the underlying reason they want to come is to improve their record against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is 8-3-1 against Texas, 4-0 in Nashville, 4-3 in Dallas, and they had a tie in Austin. So that's why Texas wants to come. They want to see if they can improve.
Yeah, I'm sure you're all over that one. Thanks for the analysis. Surprised ESPN hasn't put you on the game day set with that insight. Kenny is in Maryland. Hello, Kenny.
Paul, Jalen blew another one again, fumbles the ball, gives up 7 points, and they lose by 3. Jalen blew another championship.
You know, when he made that, when he fumbled the ball, I kept looking. Was I the only one that kept looking over to the bench to see if Tua was about to come in?
I said, my God, I need Tua to come in and rescue him again.
Tua knows how to get a winning touchdown to Devontae Smith. Jalen came close.
Close? No horseshoes. We ain't playing horseshoes here, Paul. Jalen just – how many has he lost? What, two national championship games, a couple Iron Bowls?
Kenny, listen, I don't normally go out of my way to defend anyone that's making that kind of money, but
– he's a bust.
I can assure you of one thing. The defensive coordinator of the Eagles should not have gotten – I would not have let him on the plane today after some of those calls that he made in the second half. It was not Jalen's fault. Jalen came right back and led his team down the field. He took them to a 10-point lead, but it was the special teams and the defense, the defensive line and secondary for Philadelphia that was abysmal in the second half. Let's check out Jim in Ann Arbor. Oh, I get a little nervous when we go to a Jim in Ann Arbor. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I've always wondered about how this works with you and some of the other coaches. You know, for instance, you'll interview these guys and everything on the whole is fairly pleasant. And then, you know, sometime later, it could be the same hour, a week later, a month later, you'll, you know, say some things that would be perceived as negative toward these guys. So I've always wondered, how does that affect your relationship with these coaches? Because I'm sure these things get back to them, and then you see them, you know, throughout the year at the SEC meetings down in Destin and so forth. But, I mean, it feels like with Kiffin, things are kind of light and, you know, maybe it's just part of the shtick, but with some of these other guys, when you say what you feel like you need to say and it comes across as, you know, negative, do these guys hold grudges? How does that work? Can you take us inside the baseball with Paul and these coaches? Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. The answer is yes, they do hold grudges. I mean, it is always a slippery slope when you interact with people that you cover and talk about. And I try to be fair. I try to look at all the sides. But I also, my obligation is not to the coaches. I don't do the games. Now, the guys that do the games, they have to meet with the coaches. They have to have understandings. I don't. Yeah, I mean, it would be wonderful if I had relationships, perfect relationships with all the coaches that we cover here. And most of them are pretty good, but yeah, they do get off track. And you know, there's always something going on. And it's not what I say. It's how the information reaches the individual coach. Listen, every one of these coaches in the SEC and elsewhere, they're busy. They're usually at practice this type of the time of the day during the season. But it's the second and third and fourth hand smoke that they get. Wives are often at the root of the evil. And it's not often what you say literally. It's the interpretation. If it's not that, it's how something that you say is aggregated on social media that could be distorting the original thought. But in all candor, it's an issue. I try to deal with it. I'm always available to any coach who has an issue with me, and a couple of them will. I criticized a coach this year after a big game, and he was quick to respond to me about how wrong I was, which is fine. Perfectly. You want that versus the coaches that bury their head in the sand, that get their flunkies to do their bidding for them, and then you know, throw a bunch of rocks back and forth. We'll take a break. Cedric Golden has, knows what that's all about. He's a sports columnist in Austin, where there have been a lot of topsy-turvy moments during his tenure. We'll talk to him next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. And we are really looking forward to talking about Texas and Oklahoma in the future. You heard, for those with us a minute ago, the interview we had with Chris Del Conte on Friday. We say hello to Cedric Golden now, the columnist out in Austin. Cedric, thank you. Tell us about how fans of Texas reacted when this long ordeal finally came to an end on Thursday night.
Well, I think they're excited. I know it was a long time coming. My first question was, what took so long? I know that there's a lot of money on the table as far as exit fees are concerned, but you're a lawyer, so you tell me, where did billable hours rank on the priority list? Because I know lawyers get paid as much as ADs and TV executives and, you know, here in present day players.
Yeah, Sed, I what I didn't understand is how people really even recently thought this wasn't going to happen. I mean, you're out there. You, I believe, and I want you to address this, knew how untenable it was for Texas and Oklahoma to stay in the Big 12 a moment longer than they had to.
Yeah, and don't you wish that they could have gotten this done months ago before the SEC released its schedule and all of that? But I knew there were some TV money. There's TV money that had to be dealt with. Another two seasons in the current format with Cincinnati and UCF, BYU, and Houston coming in, like you said, was going to be untenable. It's new, but it's not the kind of new that we are looking forward to covering in 2024. It's not Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Texas A&M, LSU new. It's not. And so the Big 12 will be fine. It's not going to be the power conference it was with those two blue bloods no longer in it. But what it does is it gets us excited about covering SEC football, where the national championships have set up near permanent residency. So I love what Del Conte had to say about the rivalries, but let's not get it twisted. This was a money move. They did it for the money. Rivalries are important, but those Stanky Ben Frankies are the number one priority when we're talking about big time college athletics, and this is a $1 billion business.
Cedric, Del Conte acted like the other day he wants to play everyone. We know that's not possible, but in terms of the realistic expectations, the three school pod that every school will play, we know A&M and OU seem pretty likely. What else do you think could end up for Texas to make it realistic?
I don't know. I believe that it's going to always be Aggies and Oklahoma, but in the pod, I would think Arkansas would have to be in there if they're doing, 14 pods? Is that what they're looking at?
Right.
I'm thinking that would be the logical geographic traditional look at it, and then you have to do a schedule over a couple of years with the other teams that are, you know, further east. So I would hope that that's how they're going to look at it. I know Chris is excited about renewing some old rivalries and all of that, but it's going to happen in due time. But like you said, you can't play everybody. And in the SEC, there's going to be 4 non-conference games. So that doesn't leave enough games to do that big 12 round robin that we've all come to know and love.
Cedric, there's already people in Tuscaloosa who are pretty excited. I know people in Austin as well to see the return of that game last year. What type of team are we going to see when Texas gets to Alabama on the second weekend of the year? What is this Longhorn squad going to look like?
Well, it all comes down to Quinn Ewers. Is Quinn Ewers, is he going to be the guy? I believe that they want to sit Arch Manning his freshman year. He's coming up from a private school league in Louisiana to a big step up into a Power 5 conference. Quinn showed some good signs in the Alamo Bowl, but you know they didn't get it done. And for me, I think that they have an upside in certain positions, but they're missing Bijan Robinson, the best running back in the country, and they're going to be missing a lot of guys on defense. So I don't want to call it a rebuilding year, but there are going to be some new faces that did not get a lot of run this past year. And for me, Paul, I think that it's probably a good thing that they get this year, this 1 year with not having to play in the SEC, to see if they can get their sea legs before they have to go up into that bigger, more burlier conference. So a lot will depend on their quarterback. He shaved off the mullet for, you know, the follicly challenged like you and I. We keep up with that kind of stuff, Paul. He shaved the mullet off. It's a college cut now. We'll see if he can be more of a college quarterback and be more consistent like he showed in that first quarter against Alabama. He was electric before he got hurt.
I mean, he had the crazy year at Ohio State, which would have been his senior year in high school, and he's had, what, 2 years now, or 1 year in Austin?
One year here.
Okay. What I'm trying to figure out is how far behind, you alluded to it a minute ago, will Arch Manning be, and is Arch Manning heading to Texas to sit around and do nothing the first year?
That's a good question, and we know his pedigree. He's got football blood in his, you know, blood running through his veins. He's a product of SEC football players, dad in the SEC, granddad, both uncles. And so he's grown up with big time football at the table, 4 Super Bowls showing up at his house on Christmas. So I think that they want to get him bigger. He's tall, but, you know, he's going to have to get some bulk on him. I don't think they want to play him this year. And even if he is sitting around, I don't think that they want to play him. I think they want him getting bigger in the weight room, ingesting that playbook, and hopefully serving an apprenticeship to a quarterback who is much improved. But if he struggles, if Quinn Ewers struggles, and he did struggle many times this season. He was a 19 out of 49 in Stillwater. That doesn't cut it. 30 incompletions is a lot, and they don't run the run and shoot. So if he struggles, I wouldn't be shocked if Sark went to Arch Manning, especially if Arch Manning is outplaying Quinn Ewers in practice.
The reason why it's hard to believe that he won't play at all is that nowadays these guys don't hang around their whole 4 years anyway. So curious what your thought is on Oklahoma, because it was a tough season to digest by Oklahoma standards. Do you think that was a hiccup, or do you think they're in trouble?
I think they're in trouble. And, you know, Brent Venables, he knows these Big 12 streets, Paul. He was the DC on the national championship team, and he was Bob Stoops's number one assistant for a decade. And so then goes to Jimbo Fisher. I mean, goes to Dabo Sweeney, excuse me, in Clemson, and wins another. And so it was befuddling that they struggled so badly on defense. Now, when you lose your quarterback, you can't lose your quarterback at this level. Dillon Gabriel gets a concussion, and then they go south. Now, Dillon Gabriel comes back, and then they seem to be okay near the end. So I know in the Big 12, you usually go as your quarterback goes. And so while I've got to figure out what's next for them quarterbacking-wise, it's going to be about that. But the more troubling part of all of this is a defensive-minded head coach who could not get stops last season. And I know that that's got to have Sooner fans very worried, because that came out of nowhere. We thought at the very least that they'd be getting stops.
In terms of recruiting, I know Texas recruits at the highest possible level, but how often do the Longhorns bump into Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies? And what are your thoughts on the fact that these schools now are about to start facing each other again?
They bump into Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney. I was at a high school game two years ago and ran into Dabo Sweeney in Austin. Cade Klubnik was a freshman quarterback at Westlake High School, and he ended up starting this last bowl game as a freshman. So this is a national thing now. This is not a regional recruiting battle. The national schools are here, and that means SEC, that means LSU, that means Alabama, that means A&M, and everybody's converging on Houston and Dallas. That's where the talent is. That's where the talent is. And you want to put Austin in there third or fourth. There's some D1 guys coming out of here, but it's so fertile that you're going to get all manner of coaches, including Ohio State. They came down here and got Garrett Wilson a couple of years ago. They came down here and got Quinn Ewers a few years ago. So it's going to be one of those things where Texas is going to have to up its game. Even though Sark has been recruiting great, he's going to have to be even better, because he's going to be bumping into these guys that he's playing against even more on the recruiting trail, because not only are these players falling out of the trees in Texas, there's also the little matter of name, image, and likeness. So these coaches are not only bringing their best recruiting pitch, but they've got some guy in the wings with a big fat checkbook, and he's got to make a deal as well. So the whole face of this thing has changed.
I realize this is a funny question with all the excitement going with Texas coming into the SEC, but where is Sark realistically, not contract wise, because that doesn't matter, but from a realistic standpoint, where are the fans? How are the fans with him, and what does his future look like?
I think they're happier than they were. The 5-7 didn't cut it, Paul. 3-win improvement. Still didn't get to the Big 12 title game in a year that OU was down. That was a window. That was a real window for them. And they beat K-State, but they couldn't beat TCU, and then they shouldn't have lost to Texas Tech. So there were the second-half collapses that are still troubling to the fan base. But overall, a 3-win improvement is a 3-win improvement. I'm sure there are people in this fan base that believe they should be at nine or 10 games. Quinn Ewers' lack of consistency was a concern, still is. So he's a quarterback whisperer by reputation. So I think that the fan base was not happy with how Quinn did not progress on a more even keel. Instead, he was more choppy, more roller coaster. This is going to be the year where we find out if Sark is as good as his reputation. Because I'm going to tell you this, Paul, and I'm not the first one to say this. The best way to enhance one's reputation is to go work for Nick Saban. It is. And Sark is a hell of a coach, but guys come out of Alabama elevated, and they get jobs. So it's what they do after they come back. And we can ask the people in A&M about that. We know Jimbo Fisher won a championship, but he's on the struggle bus as well, and he's a former Saban assistant. So we need to see what Sark can do on his own without the Saban credentials because 5-7 didn't cut it. 8-5 was better, but they're not paying him $6 million a year to go 8-5.
Just amazing to hear an 8-5 coach at Texas, a 5-7 coach at A&M, and let's have some patience here. Cedric, it's always great to see you. Can't believe we're about to start seeing you more. We look forward to it.
Can't wait, brother. Take care.
You got it. One of our absolute favorites, Cedric Golden from the Austin American-Statesman on the latest from Texas. We'll talk about Oklahoma later in the week. We'll take your phone calls when we come back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
A statement from the Pac-12, that's always must see. The 10 Pac-12 universities look forward to consummating successful media rights in the near future based on positive conversations with multiple potential media rights partners over the past weeks. We remain highly confident in our future growth and success as a conference and united in our commitment to one another, which raises a question. Why did they announce that today? Why didn't they just wait for the announcement of the entities that they are going to be consummating with?
Because they don't have anything yet.
Never understood that. If you got something to say, say it. But don't say it before there's anything to say.
Nah.
James is up next. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Paul. First-time caller, long-time listener and viewer.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir, and you do an absolute wonderful job talking sports.
Thank you.
It's an honor to be with you.
It's our
pleasure.
And
I wish Stephen A. Smith wouldn't make bets with Kelly Clarkson. I don't know if you saw First Take this morning, but Stephen A. revealed that he and Kelly Clarkson had a bet about the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Kelly went with the Chiefs. Stephen A. went with the Eagles. He lost, and apparently he has to go on her show, her syndicated show, and probably sing. And I can't wait to see that.
Oh.
What do you think about that?
Did you know she had a show, Randy? Kelly Clarkson?
She does. A very successful
Stephen A.'s had a rough time
show.
Lately. He picked TCU to beat Georgia. Mm-hmm. I only know that because I was on with him when he did, and I tried to put my hands up, but no bet was made there. And now he's bet. You know, by the way, something tells me Stephen A. will benefit from that experience, but I would bet Kelly Clarkson something if she'd like to bet us. Is she from Kansas City?
No, but she's an American Idol champion.
Yeah, well, I knew that.
The very first American Idol.
Was she the first one? Okay, so she was first, and then Ruben. Remember when you used to know this? Ruben Studdard then won it, didn't he? And then Carrie Underwood won a couple years later. And then Taylor Hicks won. We know that.
And most of the other ones we haven't heard from since, except
then,
for Scotty McCreary.
I really,
he's had a good career.
Who was that?
Scotty McCreary.
Oh, yeah, Scotty.
He's
Scotty did very well. Yeah, he's
got
quite a few hits out. Did he win?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Yeah, he's had a bunch of stuff. He's quite a country performer. I like him.
He's a good man.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, I'm assuming American Idol's still on.
Yes, it is. It's
okay.
On another network that it shall remain nameless.
It's on ABC.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're all part,
now,
of the, part of the ABC family, so I should have known that.
Yeah. Well, I'll leave you with this. Now that the Super Bowl is over, we racing fans can now concentrate on the NASCAR Cup Series, and that means Daytona.
Is that this Sunday, Daytona?
Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
The Great American Race.
James,
I
once covered the Daytona 500. Once. It was many years ago. But I do have an appreciation. It was a phenomenal experience being down there for 2 weeks in Daytona.
Wow.
In the middle of the winter. You've been there, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't matter whether you were or not. I just asked that to be nice.
I used to work for us.
Oh, you used to work down there? Mm-hmm. Justin is up next. Hello, Justin.
Hey, Paul. I want to talk about the Super Bowl last night. That was a not a home call on that. That was not a home call on that play when that guy was going out for the receiver. He did not hold that receiver. That was a bad call, and it should have never been called.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm assuming you're an Eagles fan.
Yeah, I am.
Did you grow up in Philadelphia? Just a wild guess.
They would have. If it were for
must have been
flag,
South Philly.
Way south.
Like Gadsden, Alabama, south of Philly. Mark is in Georgia. Hey, Mark, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller. I was just calling today to talk to you about South Carolina and LSU. What do you think about that game?
Yeah, I watched a lot of that game. It started off great, got a little bit closer, and then – the Gamecocks just did what they always do.
Now, out of those two coaches, Kim and South Carolina's coach, which one is the new heir apparent female coach in college basketball?
Well, they're both outstanding coaches, and I don't say that because I'm trying to duck your question. The question to me is, how great is Dawn Staley going to be? She's already the best coach in women's college basketball, and how far up the rung can she ascend? And I think she's well on her way to becoming one of the iconic coaches in the game, not present day, but of all time.
Well, thank you, Paul, for taking my call.
Thank you very much. Yeah, but Kim Mulkey's done a phenomenal job coming over in 2 years. She has really turned that place around, and to be in a game like that is to her credit. We will take a short break here. More of your phone calls when we come back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back here. Early Monday afternoon, late Monday afternoon. Daryl is in Georgia. Daryl, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how you doing, man?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Great, man. I got one simple question for you, Paul. What in the world made Stephen A. Smith pick the Horned Frogs over the Georgia Bulldogs? I don't still get that.
Yeah, let me see if I can choose my words carefully here. when he did it, I was out in L.A. Early in the morning out there, and I mean, I was in shock because Stephen A. is a Here's my theory. He's a big Alabama fan.
Okay.
He couldn't handle the fact that Alabama wasn't there. Therefore, he couldn't be pulling for Georgia. So that he decided to be a contrarian and gamble on the – and I, by the way, I tried to talk him off of it. I said, Stephen, that's the worst pick. Are you sure? And he didn't care. And I think he figured if I'm wrong, big deal. Nobody's going to remember, although we did.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, that's I mean, picking the Eagles is no big deal. They were favored in the game. They nearly won the game. Picking TCU is a reason to seriously never make another college football prediction again in your life. I mean, you should lose your – don't you think you ought to lose the privilege?
Sure.
It just never happened again. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call. How you been?
AC.
Feinbaum, I'm energetic, sir. This is summer of AC. Because let's face it, Mr. Feinbaum, your station is going to be cleared to go. Phone lines is going to be open. AC is going to call it every day. It's going to be chaotic, Mr. Feinbaum. Legend and all those monkeys, garbage cockroach like Jim from Tuscaloosa, you should be celebrating Valentine's Day tomorrow, but this idiot, they cannot celebrate Valentine's Day because they're fighting like little Georgia Hulks, Mass, TCU. My goodness, even Stephen A. got flushed down in the. What you got to say about that, Mr. Feinbaum? Even Daryl in Georgia celebrated like no tomorrow, but Daryl, let's face it, enjoy your time, homie, because at the end of the day, Georgia's going to go down because I hate you, fat Americans.
This guy, I hate you, fat Americans. Wow. Ron is up next. Hey, Ron.
Paul.
Ron.
Can you hear me, Paul?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me? Paul, this is Mr. 199. How you doing, Paul?
199. Everything good.
Paul, let me. I gotta say, these cockroach Georgia fans are coming out from every corner.
Hold on a second. What are you talking about?
Man, let me tell you, they're everywhere. They're coming out of nowhere. But here's the thing, Paul. If you go back,
hey, by the way, don't. I mean, they've won two national championships in a row. Don't you think they have a right to come out of wherever they want to come out of?
I'm not talking about all of them, Paul. I'm talking about all the new ones. All these ones popping up out of nowhere. Like, I ain't no user Georgia fan. But look here, Paul. If you go back on their Facebook page about 4, 5, 6 years ago, they all wearing orange and blue. They ain't nothing but some pretenders. They're all Auburn fans in disguise of a bulldog. And that's why they going to suck, too.
Donnie. We're on quite a roll here with calls. Donnie is up next in Missouri. Hey, Donnie.
Hey, Paul. I'm concerned about the when they reorder the football conferences with the adding Oklahoma and Texas. Where is Missouri going to go? They don't even belong in the Eastern Division. They belong over there in the West.
Well, Donnie, let me make it simple for you. The odds are pretty small. There will be divisions. More than likely, the divisions are going to leave. There won't the top two teams in the SEC ranking wise will end up in the SEC championship game. Everyone will play three permanent opponents, and then rotate the rest. So it won't matter anymore.
Well, I hope so, because, you know, it costs Missouri to go all the way over to the East Coast, and that puts them in a disadvantage. And, well, I did suggest that several years ago when the Missouri joined, but rather...
Well, Donnie, it wasn't personal. They really didn't have any choice. You brought in two schools at the same time who were both on the far western reaches of the league, And I really don't remember how one got chosen over the other, but Missouri did get the short end of the stick. I would agree with you.
Auburn should have gone east, and Missouri stayed in the west. But if they do away with them, I think that would be okay. But have everyone play a random football schedule, pick it random, and then have one rival for each that they play every year on Rival Day. From the SEC.
Well, Danny, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm going to, because I'm pretty sure, based on all the people with whom we have spoken, it is going to be like I laid out. Missouri will have three permanent opponents, just like A&M, just like Auburn, Alabama, Florida, and however they reach that, mostly will be on geographical and even more important, the most intense rivalries will stay. Now, a lot of schools don't have those per se. Missouri, you would think their big rivals are Oklahoma now, Arkansas, A&M from the old days, but I doubt seriously that's how it's going to end up. We'll take a break. Dawn Staley joins us next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.